Welcome to the After Party, a house party arranger for our characters to take a break from the adventuring life in between episodes, while the players and myself do our best to record a podcast one room over. My name is Nathan Augustine, and while I could be with Lamentry chasing the wandering door, instead I'm here at this table recording this podcast.
Whoa, if anybody's gonna get it, it's that little guy.
True. Right there.
Hello, I'm Tanner as an arrow, and while I could be hanging out with Laszlo as he tries to get sitar lessons from 12 String, an instrument. Does 12 String know how to play the sitar?
You don't know that yet, but I'm going to lore drop this. Yeah, he can play any instrument with strings.
Hell yeah. I honestly was hoping you'd say no so that it's just two morons trying to figure something out.
Damn, sorry.
Helping them learn the sitar. Instead, I'm here recording a podcast.
Hello, this is Darius Rudis. And while I could be with Leon as Solomon Guppy teaches him how to hotwire a car, instead, I'm here recording this podcast.
I'm David Beeman, and we actually have to wrap this up pretty quick because I'm supposed to be guesting on Scooter's late night talk show that he hosts now, called The Way the News Goes with Lil Scoot. So
yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be his guest of honor. He said not to worry about it and don't be concerned and don't overthink it. I'm not sure what to make of that, but I'm this could be my big break, guys.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
We'll and now sure for Lil Scoot with the news. Lil Scoot. Because he can't talk.
Yeah. I thought it was because he's not in here because we're trapped in this room and all the characters are outside.
It's a double meaning.
Okay.
It would go either way if we were with him or without him.
That's... Actually, Nathan, don't speak for me. I just meant it the worst way.
So sorry.
A lot of hostility.
Anyway.
I could go get Scooter and have him play therapist for us again.
Whoa.
For, like a last family therapy session. That'd be nice.
His rates are too expensive,
though. That's true. We can't afford that.
Yeah.
We made it through another arc of Spyros, by the way. That's pretty cool. Left you off like I usually do with a cliffhanger. Super fun. What are our just initial thoughts to open up the conversation?
This felt like an arc where we were just kind of slowly getting into a full-on fucking sprint. Mm-hmm. And per usual, at the end of said sprint was a wall that we didn't know was there with the third Tree of Spyros reveal at the end there. Mm-hmm. But the lead up was crazy because it just kind of felt this is probably the most, funny enough, intense heightening of like pressure within a Spyros arc thus far that I felt. Especially with the second to last episode of this arc where we were just kind of existing within action economy and within an encounter was very like stress inducing in a really good way. That was very well done to like force us to hyper focus on moment-to-moment interactions. Mm-hmm. And the weight of those moment-to-moment interactions outside of just a simple fight was very well done.
I wanted it to feel like an encounter because it was one. It was an encounter. It just wasn't your stereotypical one where you're just hacking and slashing and throwing fire at each other. So right. I wanted it to feel like it would have consequences, especially when it kind of dawned on everyone. It's like, oh wait, our suits run on like movement power. Mm-hmm. We can't go to bed.
Yeah.
So I agree. I think that I the goal for like the latter half of this arc for me was to like deplete your resources and like have you try and figure it out, which mm-hmm. you did. Honestly, like pretty well, I would say by the end, but, yeah, I think the pressure was there for sure.
Yeah.
Did you think we were going to catch Winston at all in the camp?
No, not really. I banked pretty hard on you guys not finding out. If you did, I mean, I would have
figured it out.
Yeah, I would have figured it out. I will say everything with Winston, I had like, I've rewritten how Winston was working in this arc like 3 times.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, based on what you guys were doing.
So talk us through each iteration and like what changed.
I had to pivot because, I mean, for one, I mean, I can't say everything, to be fair.
Lame.
Sorry.
Well, it's true. I mean, it's an ongoing story. He is dead now.
So. He is also dead. And also, you have his body, which I want to talk about. But
oh yeah.
Yes. He was weird. I definitely framed him to be weird, and you guys were weirded out by him. I will say, I wasn't expecting the like. Absolute like
the animosity,
the vehement hatred of him.
That came last.
Yeah,
yeah, that definitely came last.
No, yeah, and that was like at the very end. But you guys like, you guys found him in the door encounter, and you're just like, fuck him, I'm killing him. Like it was just like because he was there, I'm gonna kill him. And I was like, no, okay,
it's because he betrayed us.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
and he also betrayed 12. I mean,
he never really betrayed you guys. Schofield.
It was a couple things for me, and I think the first key one was the super fucking weird comment of your dad is like a father to me. And the undertone of the way that it was presented.
It's
I don't
funny
know
that
you,
that like affected you way more than it did me.
Because it's
Scooter.
So fucking weird. And the undertone of it, I don't know if you meant for this, Nathan, but the undertone of it was like, I know you're his son. But when I say he's like a father to me, I probably mean it more than you would say that as his actual son. That was like the energy that I got from Winston.
I didn't get that at all.
Was
so
this like just placing himself above people. And that was also where the animosity came from, at least with Laszlo in the very end, was like, you're so pathetic and annoying. Shut up. Like it was that's as simple as it got, was just, which is, he was pathetic.
You put so much thought into it. For me, this is true of me as a person, and so it will be true of every single D&D character I ever make. He was just condescending, and the second you condescend me, every single part of me wants to bury you. Wants to prove you wrong and show you that you're nothing. And that's all Leon thought. He was like, oh, you think you're better than me? I'm gonna fucking skin you alive. It was that simple.
What did you think of Winston, David?
Man, I didn't know what to think. I definitely, in my first impression of Winston, was way less antagonistic. It was like, all right, here's like kind of a weird dude, but he could be cool. The fact that he knows about my dad was an interesting door opening as I saw it of like, oh, like my family doesn't get discussed too often. So mm-hmm. when it does, it feels like a very like kind of unique and sort of special thing. And, you know, my dad being in Camp Dingo Bingo and all that was really interesting. So I was kind of curious. I was like, I want to learn more about this guy. Maybe I can learn more things from him. But I don't like totally know if I trust him. But I was erring on the side of like, if this dude's like primary motivation is fear of Kanidae and I have to get to the door because I'm scared of Kanidae, like maybe we can all help each other out. Like,
yeah,
I figured he would see this as like strength in numbers. Like they already told me they found the door and almost got it. That makes me feel better. Maybe they can help me get to the door. But I think my opinion like really changed when he bailed on us. Cause then it's like, oh, he's just kind of like a weird jerk who has a weird obsession with my dad, and he doesn't see strength in a team. And he was kind of like de facto leader of this squad with my two buds, 12 String and Schofield, and was like super quick to abandon them like in the middle of the night after they were already not doing so well. So it was kind of just one of those like, for me, it was like, okay, there's potential here. Like, maybe this could, maybe he could be kind of an interesting person. And then I very quickly was totally down to jump on the bandwagon of like, nah, let's just kill him. He's dumb. Let's just kill him.
Family, that's the family you choose, or else.
Yeah. All right.
Cheeser elves.
That's actually the Spyros take on that. Your family's the family you choose, or elves.
I think that's another like pinnacle moment for me with the Winston hate. Is we gave him a chance.
We did. Well, that's what upset me, is like, oh, this guy's like gonna tell us nothing about what he's building and then bail. It's like, clearly this guy thinks. Well, I mean, he said, I'm making a thing that will help me get to the door. Like, he told us that much.
He told us the truth. He just left out the part where he's like, also, I'm going to leave you guys to die, probably.
Right.
I mean, he revealed what he was working on. You guys didn't give him a lot of chances, I'll be honest. I'm not disagreeing with you that he was an asshole.
I didn't think it was going to move so... I thought we would have more chances.
But you didn't really give him a lot of chances.
He didn't really give us any chances.
And also, once he showed up on the field, he wasn't like, oh, what are you guys doing here? He was like, I have to stop them.
Also, another major red flag is disliking flannel.
Yes,
that was also a big
part of the flannel reveal. Was crazy.
I would go to the wall for flannel. I will not tolerate any anti-flannel speak. Yeah.
That was very much just like, oh, you don't like our best friend.
Yes, yeah.
You die.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, no, seriously. That was a major red flag of like,
kind of wish we thought to bring up Stumps, because we learned that Stumps is a very important figure.
True, but
and if he knows flannel, he may have had thoughts or
does anyone have opinion. Speak with dead?
I don't think I do, but I think I have that spell that I don't think I ever prepared.
Level 9 sorcerer.
But I have a better spell prepared anyway that
why do you want his fucking corpse, dude?
So okay, this will
actually tell us about
it's
that.
Gonna be a long time before we play again, so I am gonna say what Laszlo's plan is, even though that takes a little bit of the oomph out of the reveal. But I also think Nathan, knowing what I have in mind for next time to ruminate about between now and when we play, is good.
And we know you will indeed ruminate.
I have a spell, and Laszlo has a spell that he intends to use.
Wait, you and Laszlo have this spell?
No, oh God. No.
I'm impressed.
I wish I had the spell. I'd use it all the time, personally. Laszlo has a spell that is a bit out of what you guys would probably think Laszlo would be willing to cast as a spell, that he's going to use, called Consume Mind. And
I know this spell.
He basically just wants to loot this guy's memories and knowledge for the benefit of the group. And the way that you cast the spell is very literal to the name of said spell.
Wait, it's like Warm Bodies rules, where like you eat the brain and get all their memories?
I'm going to read it now. You consume the brain of another creature's corpse, gaining its memories and knowledge.
Literally, yeah. Yep.
The corpse must have a brain and can't be undead. The spell fails if the corpse has been dead and not preserved for more than 3 days. Until the spell ends, you can attempt to recall any important fact known to the creature: family history, recent events, building layouts, passwords, details of the creature's death, similar information. To recall a piece of information, you must make an ability check using your spellcasting modifier. DC is equal to the corpse's intelligence score. Once a caster rolls to determine whether they recall a fact, they cannot attempt to recall it again. The spell lasts an hour, so I get an hour of time to loot this motherfucker's memory.
That's nuts. Especially for that character.
That's not official, is it?
No, it's not.
That's pretty sick.
Layers of Itharis is source book.
Especially for someone like Winston, and we're looking for info on Canaday and all that. I mean, the dude was at Camp Dingo Bingo for a while.
And at the very least, like, I don't think he's going to have any information that's going to make us like go, whoa, that's crazy. But I think he's going to have information that's going to make us better prepared to handle more Dingo Bingo people at the very least.
And how to sneak in, maybe.
That's actually like a crazy helpful spell. Mm-hmm. That's wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like Speak with Dead, just better.
Eat those brains, dude. That's crazy.
Yep. So that's why I was like, take it. I need his body to consume his brain.
And now he's hanging off my belt like a Nazi scalp.
I am interested in you being like, I'm going to save this brain for later instead of just like cracking open his skull and going to town right in front of everyone.
Well, it was, I actually misread it. Otherwise, I might have tried it, but probably not just because of where we were at in the episode time and everything. I mixed up the duration and the casting time. I thought the casting time was 1 hour. The duration is 1 hour. So I could have cast it, but it didn't seem like the right moment. It doesn't seem like the right moment right now. And regardless, I have 3 days with
3 days.
This is true. So. This is accurate. That's very cool.
Yeah.
As far as things we're looking forward to, I feel pretty strongly that this tree that we're in front of is the third tree, and I finally get to see what Ruggs' rug does.
That is true.
Oh, yeah.
Your rug that from was, Ruggs
yeah.
Is only active whenever you have seen all and three.
We can hopefully talk to a healthy tree about how to heal a sick tree or a dead tree.
This is true.
Yeah, super true. Cool.
Big news.
Super cool. Yeah, because they seem very, they were like, hello, adventurers.
It's like, hello, welcome heroes.
Yes, very, welcome
yeah,
heroes.
Yeah.
So, very interesting that this one's doing okay. I guess maybe because they're super isolated.
Also thinks highly of us.
Yeah.
They weren't like, hello, enemies.
Mm-hmm.
They know about us.
Well, not necessarily. They could be like...
They could just be giving us the benefit of the doubt.
That could just be their natural greeting.
Yeah. Or like they know about the elemental isles and the elemental isles served a purpose for hiding the tree or something. I don't know.
Maybe the tree is the source of the radiation.
Maybe the tree is the friends we made along the way.
Whoa. Good point. Good point.
Yeah. Great point.
Great
dude.
Point, Sturge.
Great point.
I'm going to dispute point. That, actually. I
what?
Think our friends were the friends we made along the way.
Oh my god.
Do we have any running theories on where this tree actually is and where you guys had ended up?
Did we get any depiction of the environment around the tree?
Yeah, there was snow.
Yeah.
We're definitely in the door. That is for certain.
Well, you did go through the door. That is correct.
I think I just assumed we were still on like the wintry elemental isle.
So if it's like Monsters, Inc. rules, we would just be in like a different place.
Well, technically... If we're looking at the ye olde Spyros map, we could be in Camp Rabbitfoot or Orogenesis, which is
true.
The complete other side of the planet. And the
that is
snow
Nathan
areas.
Coded.
What yeah. if we were on a different planet altogether?
that is also Nathan Coded.
Spyros 2.
Whoa, dude. It leads me to believe we might be in Orogenesis. Or Camp Rabbitfoot or something. Nathan.
What's up?
I want to go back to Camp Wimwam.
I know you do.
We've done all this work to go to Camp Wimwam and you won't let us.
This is accurate.
I mean, it's just really hard to get back there, apparently.
Apparently.
Tanner has always wanted his Odyssey story.
I really... true. Laszlo's Odyssey story. Very true. I really appreciate that 12 String and Schofield are very much on the same page with us. I'm excited to tell them about where Dirty Doug is.
Oh,
I'm not. I'm going to keep that shit hidden, and I will make a farce out of it until the day I recover his body.
Which is hilarious, because Leon was like talking himself into a hole with 12 String for a second.
Yeah, he's like, I'll help you find him.
Yeah. I was yanking my hair out.
Well, here's the thing. If they find Dirty Doug, like, Dirty Doug's going to tell them what happened. And I can't get out of that, so
I'm going to tell them what happened. You can't get out of that. I mean, I think if you want to be the person to tell them, you should do it.
I tried to help.
I will say this.
I don't think you did anything wrong, Leon.
I do think it is a little damning that, like, when the conversation came up, all three of us collectively were like, we don't know.
why would we tell the truth in that moment? We didn't know whether to trust them.
And also, why would we tell the truth at all? Until we might, if we fix the problem as we tell the truth when we get Dirty Doug back, that looks better.
No, it doesn't. We tell them the truth now because they're our friends.
Here's my pitch.
No.
We we help them. We go get Dirty Doug. We don't tell them the truth. And if Dirty Doug says something like, "You guys totally called me," we just gaslight him.
See? Now we're getting somewhere.
Straight up, we're like, "No, we didn't."
No.
Yeah. And the three of us together will just be like, "Dude, we totally didn't do that."
So is the consensus that 12 String and Schofield are not yet 100% trustworthy?
Not to Leon.
That's not how I feel.
Here's not to Leon. And also, more importantly, I don't want to turn them against us until we've got Dirty Doug at least, because I don't want to turn them against us when we need them.
I think I'm being willingly naive because selfishly, it actually is a very satisfying experience gaining them as allies.
That's good.
It's a very... like, it can be a very exhausting thing when it feels like every character you interact with in a D&D campaign or everything you come across in any sort of role-playing scenario was like, enemy, must fight, must kill, must defend myself. To come across two people from the OG Camp Wim Wim group that have become allies, for me, like, feels very good and satisfying. I'm so happy they're our allies. I'm glad they're our friends. I like them as characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it would feel very good for me as a player, again, selfishly, to maintain that. Because at least like for me and the way I like to play role-playing games, I tend to err on the side of like, I want to make friendships and be a good guy
and
you know, create like community and sort of create a squad.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the other end of the spectrum of like Lone Ranger, kill everything in sight type thing. I'm pretty stoked that there are allies, and it makes me want to make more allies out of OG Camp Wim Wam folks. And then like maybe all of us can go back to Wim Wam and burn it to the ground or something.
Well, see, that's the thing too. I think like you guys don't really know what's going on with all of the Wim Wam campers, but from what you did like see on your way out, it wasn't a ton of them that were on the quote-unquote bad side,
right?
Like, and one you already killed, Shadrach is dead and in your possession, kind of. I mean, like, there's a lot of campers at Camp Wim Wam, and you're only finding two of them now, and where the other however many are, you're not sure, but...
Right, and Chartreuse also, the camp counselor,
the camp
too.
Counselor, yeah.
That's a whole other thing.
He's got to answer. He's asked to answer for what he did.
I think I've softened on him quite a bit.
You have, big time.
And yeah, with 12 String and Schofield, Laszlo definitely, like, very much trusts them, mostly because it feels like we... Not in a like charity type of way, but in a way we kind of have given them like, hey, you guys don't have to fucking answer to people that you don't want to answer to. Like, let's get out of here and help each other. If you guys want to go your own way, like, cool, you should do that. Laszlo wants them to do whatever it is that they're going to do. And by the sounds of it, they also have some interest in getting back to Camp Wham Wham and everything. And if our things that we want to do align in going back there, kicking some ass and fucking going back to our little cabin beds and everything, great. But overall, Laszlo's goal with them more so is to be their friend, since they seem open to being our friend, and encourage them to do whatever it is they want to do.
Yep. It seems like it's going to be easier to convince them like that Camp Dingo Bingo like isn't it, as opposed to like them being super loyal to Dingo Bingo and us having to fight them. Like,
yeah.
It seems more likely that they were kind of tossed in this situation and are a little ambivalent to it.
Yeah, they're disillusioned by the whole...
They're just trying to survive.
Yes, straight up.
I mean, they're you know, big first impression of Camp Dingo Bingo was being put on a squad with Winston. So I feel like it's not going to be hard to get them to kind of just like walk away.
Yeah.
And I mean, their main motivation with Wim Wam is or the, I will say primary motivation with Wim-Wam is Dirty Doug, because they were just like, where'd he go? Mm-hmm. And they clearly cared about him enough to show concern about him years later.
Which I think is cool.
We don't know where he is.
Yeah.
And I also, I just find it so funny that he has come up this much.
I know.
I didn't plan for it at, like, when we were first playing, like, way back when you guys were in Wim-Wam. He was mostly like a joke character, but I love how big of an issue he's become.
Genuinely got done dirty.
Yeah. Well done.
Thank you. Dirty. I was super proud of that. Over. But over. That's a good bit, and I will stand by it. But yeah, no, he kind of just got like tossed in the lake and forgotten.
It was the result of a failed roll.
Yeah, it was an accident.
I was trying to save him.
Yeah, it was fine.
He was doing fucking nothing to save himself.
Yeah, and also, like, to be fair, this is why I think you're fine.
He was a 17-year-old camper.
This is why I think
you're fine.
Yeah, but
we can't hold everybody to the same standards we hold ourselves
to. I don't think that's what we're doing. I think I'm just, my point with Leon is, and I'm saying this, I guess, as Laszlo and Tanner, but like, my point with Leon is like, you didn't do anything wrong. You tried to help him. He wasn't helping himself very much. He kind of needs a little bit of encouragement. And it's nice that his cabin members are people who seem to be willing to give him that and kind of encourage him as a friend in that way.
Just David and Leon, have you ever helped someone before and then failed and then tried to tell someone else the truth and then that someone else you told the truth to got pissed at you even though you tried to do the right thing?
And if they get pissed at you, then maybe they have a little bit of a right to get pissed at you.
But we can avoid that completely.
I think in the end,
Laszlo's going to tell him if you don't.
I think in the end, if everything works out okay for Dirty Doug, like, you know, no harm, no foul, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I say we tell them the truth, or the truth becomes revealed when we save Dirty Doug.
So also, what actually happened to Dirty Doug that put him in that situation?
I tried to pick him up and carry him with me.
When the camp was getting overrun by Hamza and his people.
Right. And I was like, is there anybody around here that I can grab and save as we are fleeing? And he said Dirty Doug.
Yeah, I was
like,
Dirty Doug's
nearby. And I failed a strength check. And so I dropped Dirty Doug. And then he rolled into the lake and has stayed there.
Yes. Yeah. And months later, we did contact him, and he was still under that lake.
And he didn't sound necessarily, like, upset.
I think he's still there, or he's dead. One of those two things is true. And if I become a high enough level cleric, I can do the funniest thing, which is cast a super high level revive spell on him.
I think
you could go to him again and see if you get a response.
Yeah, we can try. We can try and talk to him.
Eat his brain.
his
memories of just sitting in the bottom of the lake.
I could saute his brain and consume it.
Straight up. It'll just be memories of him sitting there.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I have a grand scheme for Dirty Doug. You guys,
I love D&D.
He has an arc.
Yeah,
I love D&D.
He's got an arc.
Expect. I really don't think you will.
He made him into a sage.
Oh my god.
He is the big bad.
He is Wim-Wam.
He
is Spyros.
No.
He killed Hamza and took over as leader.
Whoa.
Maybe.
Oh, Nathan. God. I can't believe you'd reveal that right now.
Yeah,
it's so
I can't
early.
Believe I would reveal that
Maybe
right now.
Maybe the real Dirty Doug
is
the friends we made.
Is the friends we dropped in the lake along the way.
Poor guy.
I'm also glad that the Wim-Wam campers 12 string Schofield are with you guys, because it's fun for me to like have that connection that has been so far gone for so long to make that a thing again, because like you said, Tanner, like I'm just like not letting you get there right now, and I think that's a fun little like piece of candy. So I'm excited. I'm finally like getting to like connect all these dots that I have, and I'm having a lot of fun doing that, because we're finally like getting into like a really good stride story-wise, I think, because I think you said this, Tanner, I don't know if it was off or on mic, but you felt like we were in the prologue, everything like prior to hiatus, and now we're like actually starting the campaign. And it does kind of feel that way to me sometimes, where I'm like, I've had all these things and constructed all these things to happen, and so many things that I've constructed haven't happened yet. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant to feel like we're like really getting into the meat of Spyros while having had such a history as characters, and all that time in building the relationship with each other that we have, because I think I have said it several times over the last few Spyros episodes on and off mic that this particular arc, it felt like we were working more synchronized as a team than ever before. So it's super exciting for us to have this incredible chemistry, to now like really be getting into the meat of it. I feel very prepared and very excited to see kind of where the story takes us.
Yeah, I think we're at one of the best like spots level wise for D&D also, which helps with us being cohesive mechanically and 100%. Everything, especially for a three person party, which is just tough in general. It, you know, level 9, level 10, this that little midway point.
They're level 9, by the way.
Can we level up?
No, we don't say that a lot, but anyway.
It's a really good spot to be in where you don't have too many spell slots so that you're doing like crazy overwhelming stuff and every encounter is like fucking 7 hours long. But you're a little bit limited, but you have enough in your arsenal to kind of move things around and try things.
And cast throws of ecstasy.
Yeah, for spell casters and stuff.
I can tell.
You have enough. Yeah, you have enough abilities and things to go into that you can kind of be versatile in any situation. It really, I think, matches well level wise with where we're at in the story in that way to get back and feel cohesive together in everything.
There were a few moments in this arc where our powers caught you off guard a little bit, Nathan.
Yeah, I don't think I was ready for Dimension Door. Yeah, true, because you guys almost snagged the door.
Knowing when you first saw it. What was on the other side of the door now, the fact that we almost did it 2 episodes early
without even running into the other guys.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that crazy. Would have been interesting.
Not knowing what you would have done in place had we succeeded, but like knowing what we would have missed, I understand why you were like, oh fuck.
Yeah, I was like, no. Yeah. I was like, it can't happen this way. I was like pretty, so that's the thing though, even if you were like, you guys were close, but also you weren't.
Four reaction.
I mean, at best, like, one of us would have gotten through.
I just wish I wish I had thought to cast, what spell was it that takes away the reactions again? Shocking grasp.
Oh, that was such a good use.
Thought to cast that in that, like, I couldn't have predicted that this door would have so many reactions.
Exactly. Yeah.
No way to predict that. But in hindsight, like, that could have sealed the deal.
Yeah.
For us getting through.
The thing with that, in the first time you saw the door, is though that you guys were not an initiative.
I was about to say that.
So it was near impossible in the first time you saw the door, I would say, just purely because of that, because we're out of combat. I'm just gonna say the door just shakes you guys off again and again and again.
Right.
And that would be the case. Shocking grasp was huge. I seriously straight up do not think you guys may have gotten through without shocking grasp.
I don't see how we could have. With 4 reactions per round, I don't see how that would have worked.
And so then, what were we going to do if we didn't get through?
People would have got left behind.
My prediction would have been we would have had to keep trying and more people from Dingo Bingo would have showed up, and it would have been us versus actual competent, like, threatening people instead of fucking Winston.
Just the encounter that never ends.
Yes.
I did have plans to adapt to combat, but I won't let you know what they were. Sorry. But yeah, I purposefully made the door harder than it is. It's an Obojima monster.
Whoa, cool.
And let me just pull up, because this stat block is nuts. And I saw it and immediately fell in love with it. I was like, I have to use this like as soon as possible.
You should let them know one of the tweaks that someone who isn't here right now offered for you.
Oh, yeah. So
that you revealed to me yesterday.
So a little thing, too. I was just kind of like in a Discord call with some of our friends, Zach included. And I was kind of pitching them like this encounter and being like, does this seem unfair? And I was like, I think I'm going to give him three reactions. And Zach was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, what? That seems like an insane amount. And then I was like, well, it's not going to attack them. And he's like, oh, give it four then.
Yeah.
Speak
of the fucking devil.
I literally summoned him.
Speak of the devil and Zach will show up.
Yeah. Instead. I was literally just talking about you, Zach, about how I was going to do three reactions, but then I said that the door doesn't attack people, and then you're like, oh, give it four, and I was like, okay.
So God damn it, Zach.
So I did, and he's the only reason that there was one more, but...
Okay, so it was four. It was maximum four.
It was four.
Okay.
And yeah, you guys, it only, I think, once used all four.
The first round, it burned all four.
Which means we would have gotten it sooner.
Mm-hmm.
True.
We just started to focus on Winston, because
I know you. It became very Winston-focused. Mm-hmm.
I think that was the best choice, though, honestly.
Well, when I realized we were probably close to killing him, that's when I was like, I want to cast that spell on him. We need to kill him.
That's a great point.
That's why I pivoted my focus a little bit.
Even that notwithstanding, I will say, with how hard it was to get to the door, even after Winston was dead, I can't imagine what the outcome would have been if we the whole time were trying to fight with Winston. Like, no way all of us would have made it through the door.
Yeah.
Like,
at least he would have made it through, too. The other reason I was scared, I didn't want to leave him alive, because us going through the door doesn't negate
him
the door still existing on his end. Because what happens
once the door is closed, it cannot be opened again. That's what you told us, right?
I mean, yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I was still worried about him coming after us.
But you were pulling up the monster block also.
Yes, I was still worried about like him going and getting reinforcements.
Yeah.
I was scared about that. I was worried about him being able to tell Kanidae anything.
Well, yeah, as far as we know, he didn't relay anything.
Yes.
Which, I mean, it would be smart to assume he has, but like, also could assume he was too scared to relay anything unless it was good news.
Either way, us killing him sent messages that I approve of to Kanidae, to Camp Dingo Bingo, to like anybody.
I mean, I don't know what message you think was sent, because like, his body's gone.
That's what I like, I mean, honestly,
like, no one knows that he's dead.
Even better, IMO. Either they just think he deserted and he's a loser and nobody suspects us,
or he made it through the door.
They think we killed him so hard he's nothing now. Either way, that is the Tanner Azanero stamp of approval.
I think it'd be better if they thought he was still alive. I say we hang on to that corpse, pull a Weekend at Bernie's type thing, and Lil Scoot and I can kind of just like,
oh my god,
I absolutely approve.
Yeah, I mean, we've done crazier things on Spyros, I think. Maybe not crazier.
Well,
than
I'm
that.
Gonna eat his brain and you're gonna puppeteer his corpse.
Even though Winston is a badger, I think it, even and for Laszlo, especially how you said earlier, it's kind of like an out of character spell for Laszlo. Like, I feel like it's going to be a little strange for him to eat a brain. No?
Yeah, I have some thoughts about
that. Feels
how
like
Laszlo's approaching this and his mindset about like doing it. I have some thoughts about
interesting
his reasonings, but it definitely does kind of boil down to his willingness to do what needs to be done now that he carries the responsibility that he does.
Yeah, but I would argue that the benefits of this spell are very good, but I also would think that consuming the brain of another like sentient thing is like mentally damaging. At least I would think. If I was a character in Spyros, I don't know if I would just be down to like consume a brain, because like everything is alive, really. It's not that. I mean, well, it's not that. Yeah.
Zach, get out of here.
You aren't part of this.
You're not even here.
Whoa, Prosciutto from Afar cameo. Don't you guys love Foes and Fables? The Patreon is $5 a month. Sorry, you were saying.
But yeah, no, I think that and this is just my personal thought on it, that it is like taboo and strange.
I think Laszlo hasn't thought about it much beyond feeling like he has a responsibility to do it for the benefit of the group.
That's fair.
I think that's about as far as he has had the chance and allowed himself to consider.
True.
This power.
I'm so glad for when you ask Leon for his body and I ask you why. And we have to have this conversation.
Laszlo's going to tell you guys.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I would assume so. And I also, not that like 12 String and Schofield were the biggest fans of him, but you just being like, well, I'm going to eat his brain now, might freak them out a little too.
Actually, that's a good point. I hadn't considered that.
And not
we did tell them that we're weird.
Well,
several times.
That's a little outside of the definition of weird.
Well, it's cannibalism.
My point is like Scooter has been planting this seed just to like set their expectations. You know, so
yeah.
That's interesting.
You start eating this thing's brain, Scooter's just going to be like, look, man, you know what you signed up for.
I will say, I think it's going to be a conversation with everybody. Not necessarily, hey, I'm doing this.
You could just do it in secret and not.
No, Laszlo's going to have a conversation with you guys. He's going to like involve you guys and be like, hey, I feel like we're culpable. I feel like I need to do this, but I want to let you guys know.
We're accessories to your crime against humanity.
It is that if you guys veto it, he will respect it.
Do you think you'd share it?
No, not unless
not even
you
a
want
bite?
To.
Not, you wouldn't even let if Scooter you, like try it?
Honestly, actually, that's an interesting question. Probably not, because taking into account what Nathan just said, and now putting me in the headspace of thinking about Laszlo, thinking about it, I think he doesn't necessarily approve of the action, but believes that it would benefit the group, and thus believes it is a burden that he should carry of aiding a sentient person.
Man,
to
Laszlo's
benefit the group.
Laszlo's ego is just so massive.
It's not about his ego.
It's this sort of like. Underlying arrogance to think that this act, like, I do not approve of this action. I don't think anyone else should do this, but I'm me. I'll carry the burden. No one else should do this because it's a bad thing.
That's not how he thinks about it at all. It's that he feels like
I have to make the hard decisions because no one else will.
No,
it's sort of like a standard Laszlo holds himself to that he wouldn't hold anyone else to. That's sort of the arrogance I'm referring to. It's not even so much in a critical way. It's more of like an observation.
But it's not arrogance based. It's like, I get what you're saying, but
arrogance comes in a lot of forms, even like subconsciously.
I think it is just, he believes that, especially with the weight that he carries and kind of what we were talking about in the last after party of like that, the whole hiatus thing has only reaffirmed his like kind of own toxic traits of like, cool. My responsibility is to carry as much of the weight of things as possible. This just folds into that of like, it's not about him thinking that he can handle it. It's about him thinking that that's what's best for everybody else, so he has to.
Right. He has to. That's kind of the point I'm making. Because also, like, these responsibilities, as we discussed in the last after party, are, like, things Laszlo has invented for himself. You know, like, these are pressures Laszlo puts on himself. Like, it's kind of all in Laszlo's head.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, there is a part of Laszlo that puts these pressures on himself because he believes he can handle it.
No, I don't... That's the thing that I think is where I disagree on the arrogance part, because I don't think he thinks he can handle it. I think he feels like he doesn't have a choice but to do what is best for the people that he cares about, regardless of the cost to himself.
Mm-hmm. But do you think he also believes that on a scale outside of himself? Like, do you think that if Scooter was in this same position, that Laszlo would approve of Scooter's decision making?
That is also another element to it that I do think is why I also don't think about it as arrogance, is yes. because that's why Laszlo wants to involve and be like in a conversation. Mm-hmm. And if you guys go, hey man, don't eat another person, Laszlo's gonna be like, okay. And
well, what if the conversation is like, hey dude, eat another person, but like share the load. Like, let's all eat this person together.
He would probably be open to that. Yes. Just because
that's this whole entire conversation was one straight line to me to get you to yes. a point where Laszlo would be like, all right, let's all do this together.
Well, at first
all
I think
to help.
Yeah, like you slice that brain into six equal parts, buddy.
I think at first my gut reaction was no, like he wouldn't want anybody else to have to do that, which is probably what his gut reaction would say.
For sure.
But he would converse about it and be like, if that is what is gonna make us all like for the better, yeah, let's do it then.
What I think is probably gonna happen, frankly, is Scooter's gonna wind up like explaining this to Schofield and 12 String as a means of like, if you want to join our crew, this is the fucking initiation. You need to eat the brain right now.
Meanwhile, little Scoot is like gnawing at the thing already, like, and like
this is us like rushing you. Like this is hazing.
Yeah, this is us hazing. And then it pans over, like, and Leon's like spit roasting the brain.
you're gonna eat this brain right now, or you're getting left behind in this door.
Answer him.
Answer him. Over. I love Spyros. It felt so good to be back playing as a unit with you guys again. The hiatus stuff was super fun and unique, but like, man, what an awesome feeling it was being with the crew.
Yeah, I'm glad it's in motion again.
Yeah,
feels good.
And I love that we still haven't worked out everything that happened in hiatus.
It takes time. We're processing.
I mean,
just the things that are gonna sit for further and further. The more he connects dots, the more we unravel shit. And our characters unravel as a result.
I think Leon's arc will have to be one of two things, where either one, like, he's comes to a point where, like, what I hope is, like, he's able to open himself up to his friends and be open to talking and processing things with us. Or the other option is, like, he figures out a way to process it himself. Or he never does.
Well, I think, yeah, there's kind of, it kind of boils down to two things.
Because, like, either, clearly it affected you, but I don't think Leon's in a place where he's ready to talk about it.
Yeah, he has PTSD.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. It's either going to be a thing where Leon starts to open up to us, or Leon doesn't handle it well, makes bad decisions, and then we have to go, hey, man.
I mean, that's the more likely option.
Right.
The more likely option is he's going to have a reaction to something and he's going to fucking kill the wrong person.
Oh, right. I cannot wait to get back to playing Spyros again.
I know. I'm so sad it's going to be so long.
The wrong person's going to like tap me on the shoulder from behind and they're going to lose a hand.
It'll be Scooter.
Like, straight up, I had this idea in my mind that when we came back from a hiatus, like, you were going to try and spook us. And it'd I was be, like
annoying or
and
something.
I was like, if Scooter tries to like jump on and spook or surprise Leon, I think I'm gonna have to spike Scooter into the ground.
Nah, dude, Scooter turned over a new leaf, man. He is a straight shooting,
straight shooter Scooter.
Straight shooter Scooter. No more pranks.
I can't wait
funnies.
Until that breaks down too.
we'll see how long you can hold.
Well,
that.
What's funny too is that I feel like Laszlo has super loosened up, and I've leaned into being silly as Laszlo.
We're getting more balanced.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're meeting just each other too. Where we're at.
Yeah. No. You're doing your own thing. We are getting more balance. We are getting more balance.
Zach, all the way in the kitchen, is giving us the thumbs down. I don't know how to interpret that.
Less balance, more goofs.
Oh. He's giving us notes.
Got it.
Okay, sure.
Backseat gaming.
I'll do better
here.
Next
yeah,
time.
Yeah, he is backseat gaming.
Still going to be the largest waveform in this episode.
Crazy. Damn, okay, holy shit.
I'm sorry about that.
We kicked
that
him
one.
Out of Spyros and roasted him. That's crazy.
Ouch, dude.
Ouch.
Audio humor. I didn't get the roast on me. Get
fucked, idiot.
Yeah,
it
was,
that's. That all the time we got, really? How long have we been going?
About an hour, yeah.
About an hour, okay. Yeah. We got any, like, exiting thoughts?
Really can't wait to see what happens with the rug. That is one, like, that is, like, top three things I'm excited for.
It's tree time, motherfuckers.
It's super tree time. I'm stoked to be meeting another tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the trees have always provided for large moments, so...
Yeah, that was the first big thing we did in Spyros into like pre-podcast stuff was meet the tree.
Yeah, meet Ilex.
Yeah, Ilex.
I didn't think all three trees would come into play this quickly.
Me either. I did think...
I thought this third tree was going to be teased out for like... I thought you were going to smack us with it in like a year and a half. And we'd be like, oh shit, that's right. Mm-hmm.
I'm very pleased it happened this early because I am an impatient man.
It feels like... think we are about to begin affecting things on a much grander scale than we have been to the point that David has brought up a few times of like, even like with our library entries and stuff, like we think we've done a lot and we haven't. And this feels like we're about to start doing a lot and about to have a lot of big targets.
Cause no one's found the third tree before.
Yep. Yeah. This is like a crazy thing.
I forgot that was a fact actually. Mm-hmm. I have completely forgotten about that.
Yeah. And no one knew where it was or
Canaday at the very least knew they wanted to find
this door. That's what I was just about to say, is I'm wondering now if this tree is why Canaday wanted to find the door.
My worry is that because Canaday wanted Winston to do was go through the door. That was his only instruction.
Yeah.
He didn't have any other instructions as far as we know.
Winston could have lied.
Beyond there, and I'm going to potentially eat his brain after I've had a long conversation with you guys, potentially sharing with you guys to find out. But
I think you're gonna eat the brain.
I'm gonna eat that brain.
It comes to pass.
Yum.
But as far as we know, like we may have done the bad thing just now of us ourselves going through the door, sending up the basically fucking flare gun for the sages to go found it, and then they all converge on us.
Yeah. So my thought was also
actually, you're right.
Yeah, and then the other side, which is what my thought was, Canada was saying go through the door, not because he knew it was on the side, because he didn't know, and he's like, you are a pawn that I'm willing to lose if this is nothing or harmful, but if it's good, then you're my pawn and I can get what I want.
He could have just blindly been throwing darts.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. But either way...
hey, here's this weird thing I gotta solve.
We're not getting out of this without putting our fucking names on the map for the wrong people.
It'll be interesting... to speak with the tree.
Yeah. Judge me by my enemies, motherfucker. Come at me, Canada.
Yeah, let's fucking beat this guy up.
I do love how we have gone through all of Spyros and become a lot more kind of confident in ourselves and kind of down to just like fight someone. Yep. We're kind of just like, come at me.
Yeah, that's Leon's whole point.
It's great. It's very entertaining.
Yeah. I like kicking ass with you guys.
It's so fun. It's great. But, you know, to take a note from our biggest fan, you know, maybe in the next arc there will be a little less ass and a little more goofs. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
I hope there's more ass and more goofs.
I vote more ass and goofs.
Can we do that?
Nathan, do we have enough in the budget for more ass?
I'll have to consult with the accountant.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, he's Tanner.
He's so stingy.
You can start my OnlyFans whenever you like.
The Patreon is $60 a month, everybody.
Oh, it's only a matter of time before you end up on WikiFeet, Tanner.
Yeah, I want it so bad, man. Fuck.
Someday a stranger will post your feet.
It's what this has all been for, all of Foes and Fables.
Okay, well, don't tell them.
That ruins the magic.
Yeah, dude.
It has to happen organically.
Yeah.
That's
true.
Yeah,
organic. Cut that.
Please don't. Guess you cut that, I quit.
If you
throwing rock, dude.
Whoa, I love rock.
Yeah, rock is crazy. All right,
should we go record more campaign 4 and throw rock?
Oh, true. That does happen next week.
Campaign 4 will be here. POC, our nautical campaign, as I have been describing it, it is about pirates, dinosaurs, and demigods.
What more could you possibly want?
And there's a good bit of ass in that one.
Spoilers, there's a lot of ass.
If what you've been wanted from those in Fables is more ass, well, let me tell you what, you're gonna get it. There's more ass than you've ever been able to handle in your whole life.
And
skinny motherfucker.
Our Patreon is $80.
Dude, it gets more expensive by the second.
Over.
By the second.
Yeah, over.
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 Over?
Over.
Over.
I gotta go get on a talk show.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm a little nervous. That's all the time we have for David because he's got to make his way to the late night show.
Fuck, there goes the car.
Oh, shit.
Oh, they left you behind, dude.
Is Scooter in the car with Zendaya? What the fuck? How did he get Zendaya on the show?
Holy shit, new lore for the after party universe.
Zendaya's at the after party.
You know, holy shit.
I would just like to point out, I'm not really upset by this because what this tells me is Zendaya was number two on the call sheet below David Beeman.
Or you just got replaced because the car just drove away. So the second that Scooter got Zendaya, you were out.
Or you were both on the bill, dude.
Were we going to be guested to... Missed opportunities, you could've guys. I will spend the rest of my life wondering what could have been.
Except Scooter's type of game show is like a fight to the death with his guests or something.
Yeah. I would have had to like
David Beeman fights Zendaya to death. The after party is getting crazy. Yeah.
I gotta go.
We gotta go.
Drown my sorrows in some Taco Bell.
We really appreciate it. Please like and share on all the stuff. We can't wait to see you in Campaign 4 POC next week. Holy fuck.
Over.